Welcome to another glorious episode of Barstool Drive Time. I'm Smitty alongside Riggs, Big Daddy Trent, got Tex in the house, Andrew and intern Robbie on the phones. Give us a call if you want to chime in and chat, 646-627-8450. We're going to hop right into it with what you need to know in this world. Riggs, go.
A couple things that I want to bring up right out of the gate. First of all, I've kind of carved out a little bit of a niche lately with plane crashes. In the last couple months, I've been really rattling people's cages with plane crash blogs, which is not my fault because planes crash and then I have to report them. But they called off the search for the famous MH370.
The Malaysia deal,
which actually went down almost 3 years ago, which is stunning to think about. I think it was March 8th, 2014. Anyway, a little bit of news over the night. Actually, got a little. My bat phone went off with this alarm, which kind of rattled my. I was like, "Oh no! Did another Malaysia 370 go down?" But bottom line is, after 3 years, they called off the search, and a bunch of people were really pissed off about it. I'll be honest. I was kind of thinking about this. I feel like it's better now if it's just never found.
Okay. That's interesting.
First of all, your alerts go off with something like this. Like, you have an Amber Alert iPhone where you get news updates.
I subscribe to, like, certain news outlets' Twitter feeds, like CNN breaking news feed. So whenever it's like a text message or something on my phone, whenever they tweet.
Okay.
And I got one of those for this at, like, midnight or something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know when they have, like, an Amber Alert or flood warning,
terrifying.
It goes batshit.
See, I don't have it. That it doesn't go that batshit, but it,
ooh,
you know.
Ooh. I was awakened in Philly one time by a flood alert, and I almost wished I died in a flood.
Amber alerts are scary.
No, flood alert. But okay. Amber Alert, okay, you're looking for a kid. I can kind of.
Aren't they, like, hard to turn off, too?
It's like the one non-customizable feature on an iPhone.
Where you're just like, what's going on?
I got a couple things on the airplane thing. One, humans, like, getting on planes is the craziest thing that we do that we consider normal. I think we've talked about that before.
I forgot that you're a big, like, death tube guy.
Well, like, I'm a better flyer now because before I got the job at Barstool, I didn't fly all that much at all. But now when we, like, go do videos and go do whatever, we fly a lot. So I'm more comfortable with it now. But the fact that we, like, get on, like, a 150-ton thing and just, like, it just throws us across the country is insane.
Yeah, easily the safest way to travel, but.
People say that, but.
What were you, like, before you had to get on planes? Were you, like, Rain Man, where you just, like, started to spaz?
No, my hands would sweat really bad, and I'd get, like, really bad anxiety. So, like, But you, like, people say it's the safest way to travel. Everyone will say that. You just brought it up. People be like, oh, it's way safer than cars. But everyone that gets on a plane is like, this motherfucker. There's some part of them that's like, this motherfucker's going down.
Well, here's the issue, and I've written this many times, is that it is statistically your safest fuck. But it's just, you're so nervous because if anything goes wrong, it's over.
It's not like, oh, I blew a tire, now I can pull over. Right. It's like, oh, we blew an engine, we're going fucking down.
Like, you don't get a fender bender. You don't get something like that.
I'd rather have it that way. You're gonna go. You're gonna go.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're human and you don't want to die, then you're like, all right.
See,
I hope nothing goes wrong.
That's tough talk from a guy standing on solid ground. Right.
Again,
now.
That was another Smitty Hardo.
I would love a camera on you.
A plane crash, whatever.
Of a plane, like if a plane.
I'm not saying plane crash. No, whatever, but I'd rather I'd rather die in a plane crash than in any sort of automobile accident or whatever. You die in a plane crash, you're like Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, you're royalty. You die in an automobile accident, you're just a statistic.
Those are celebrities. We're just like D-list bloggers.
I don't think you're you're royalty if you die in a plane crash. You're just gone.
Well, I mean, you're more remembered.
Or if you disappear in one, then you're just like nobody knows.
I guess that's true. I guess I didn't think about it like that. You're not like you're going to be remembered like a celebrity, but people die in car crashes every day. When a plane crashes, Riggsy's getting alerts on his phone.
Payne Stewart looking down on you right now.
Do you think we're at the point where if we died in a plane crash, they would be like, so-and-so from Barstool was on this plane?
No.
In the news?
I think so. Sadly.
I don't think so. I think the site would be
you
like.
You definitely haven't made it yet if you don't stand out from like the airplane.
That's definitely how you know you're level in whatever.
If you're just like, oh, 145 people died and they don't single you out, then you haven't made
it. I think it's, there's no way they would single us out.
I don't know.
I thought I had another thing on the plane. When you said that it's become like your niche, I gotta blog it. I'm the political guy. The way you blog it is mean spirited. You're like, hey, holiday travelers, another plane went down. Good luck at the airport.
Yeah, well, that was really more of a function of the seasonal thing, which is I don't control the seasons. So the fact that there was like three plane crashes in a week in obscure countries, right around Christmas time and Thanksgiving when everybody's traveling. I mean, yeah, that's like, you know, we have takes on stuff.
True.
My take was like, hey, good luck flying when you're, because you're going to be flying a lot more than normal. My thing I want to say about the plane, the MH370, is that I feel like now, I mean, if they just find him at the bottom of the ocean, then it's just another plane crash.
Yeah.
But if they never find it, then it becomes one of those like mysteries forever.
Big
which
time
is
aliens.
A lot
which
cooler.
I don't love.
Right, aliens, it disappeared. There's all these theories that they went
now,
to like a private island and they're never going to be found, like in Lost.
Okay, it's not.
No, but now.
No, but I'm saying this shit's out there and at least it has one, you know, inkling of like maybe, but if
that's
it's found,
then
say. It's just brutal.
I hope they find them in like 10 years on an island like Tom Hanks shit. Like I hope they, I hope they find them on a desert island somewhere. That would be best case scenario. By the way, it's weird in 2017 that a giant plane full of people can just flat out disappear. Like in my brain, we have the entire map covered where we know where like everything that's going on everywhere. For a huge plane to crash and people are just like, we don't know what happened to it, is insane.
It's,
no?
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
I totally agree with you. But I will say this is a 3-year-old story. We all kind of went through that phase like 3 years ago. We were like, oh my God.
Still blows my mind. Fuck you.
Real quick, 646-627-8450. Call in, talk about anything, sports, trivia, movies. You have something for Tex, who just is...
He made it.
Yeah, he did make it today.
I made it before you.
We appreciate
you.
It.
You did make it before me. I was a little late.
But also, very, very important, you're listening on my personal Facebook page right now, Barstool Smitty. If you can share that shit, sharing is caring. Just please help us out a little bit.
Share.
Share it, and it gets the word out there a little bit more. Riggsy, you got another news topic?
It's important to note that in 3 days, Donald Trump becomes president of the United States.
Oh, is that happening?
Yeah.
There is a great, great tweet I saw today that I'm going to pull up. But
he hammered out a couple already this morning, too.
No, not by him. Not by
that
him.
Inauguration is going to be something else.
Oh, it's.
Here's this great tweet from him this morning where he said, people are pouring into Washington in record numbers. Bikers are for Trump are on their way. It will be a great Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Not for you.
The fact that he singled out Bikers for America,
yeah,
are like,
it's like,
oh, they're coming to fucking DC.
Well, bottom of the barrel.
It's gonna be a rager. The bikers are coming.
Here's a great tweet. this is from some guy from The Tonight Show. The guy who ran for president on his ability to make and close deals could not successfully book a Bruce Springsteen cover band. he had the cover band for Bruce Springsteen to be performing at the inaugural event, and they fucking backed out.
That's what I was going to say. I saw a tweet similar to that where it's like, well, yeah, all I saw was that the Bruce Springsteen cover band backed out, and that really sums up just about everything about this whole inauguration.
Who is actually playing? Do we know?
No.
Because I feel, again,
I'm shocked Toby Keith just isn't playing the entire time.
No, I think he might be.
He has to be.
There's somebody who's...
Like, literally for 2 days
that's
straight.
That's it.
Just pump him full
of
like, Adderall.
Just have him.
Keep
have
playing,
like,
buddy.
You know...
What other conservative celebrities are there? John Voight? Just have him reenact his lines.
You know who I did see? I could have been a mistake, but you know who I saw? I saw Three Doors Down is going to play.
Ooh.
And the reason they like asked him, like, why are you going to perform? And they're like, the check cleared.
Yeah, well, didn't
that.
It was
that.
Either like Three Doors Down or Sum 41, some 90s band that's like somewhat relevant. Didn't they play at a Trump rally last year and just like fucked it up on purpose?
Might have been, was it Smash
just
Mouth?
Like sabotaged him?
Yeah, just completely played like
I
shit.
I can see
it
being Smash Mouth.
It might have been Third Eye Blind. I think it might
I remember
been
that story.
Eye
I can't remember
yeah.
who it was. Yeah, Three Doors Down, Third Eye Blind. These are all the
it's
same
all
band
the
to me.
Same. All right, we got callers coming in right now. Kevin from North Carolina. You got a New York question. What do you think?
What's up, boys? Love you guys. Love the show. So I live in North Carolina. I was just visiting New York this past weekend. Fucking up till 5 every goddamn night. I'm so tired. I'm trying to get to work right now. I'm just wondering how kind of you guys have adjusted to the New York nightlife scene. I'm just kind of used to bars closing at 2 like a normal city and going out like a normal person. I don't know if I could do it. Viva. Love it. Keep the show up.
You either adjust and become a functioning alcoholic or you die. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't think I've adjusted yet. I mean, I'm just more miserable, I guess, during the day because you go. I will say the one thing that.
Sundays are a killer. Absolutely.
The whole week is dependent on Sunday. If you go out on Sunday, you're just fucked. But if you don't, then I don't even watch football. I just sleep the entire day.
I haven't jumped into the Sunday thing. I've had a few invites from you guys, which is very nice. I'm new to the city. But
you're welcome.
Going out on Sundays terrifies me. I don't know. I didn't do it back home. I don't plan on doing it here, although I'm sure it's going to happen. The thought of being like taking on a I've had like 2 day hangovers, you go out really hard on a Saturday and you're still like groggy and shit on a Monday. To face a full hangover on a Monday to me is lunacy.
There's a couple reasons that people get behind it, that it's not, they justify it not being as bad. One is that you start earlier and go to bed earlier.
Okay.
So it's definitely different if you start cranking at like 1 on Sunday and you crank to like 6 or 7, you're in bed by 8. That's a lot different when you wake up at, you know, 7, 8 a.m. the next Monday morning on 12 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Versus when you're hungover as balls and you went to bed at like 3 a.m.
True.
So that definitely helps. The other thing is there are certain people out there, I think, that are actually capable of just not going ham. Which I don't.
Yeah,
like,
I
feel
don't
like Smitty and I have one speed. And
I agree.
Once you start cranking, you're cranking, and that's it. So,
as it should be.
Yeah. So
or not. But
basically, I don't think we've adjusted at all. I think
we went out on like a Friday and went out till what he said about the 2 a.m. bars closing, it makes a big difference because like my body has been set to a clock where it's like, all right, it's 1:45, the lights are about to come on, and I'm gonna go home. Instead, you just plow right through 2 a.m. and next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. and you're like, oh, shit.
Totally.
Oh,
The bar doesn't have Bud Light or Rumpelmans. You don't know where you're at.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, too.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in a kind of a cycle for, you know, since college where you basically around midnight, 1 o'clock, you're kind of, like, looking around, like, when are they going to kick us out of here? Like, come on. But,
yeah.
And they just don't do that in New York. They just keep fucking going.
No. Yeah, but Trent, you actually brought up in an indirect way your only character flaw as a person.
What's that?
You are a professional text message ducker.
Yeah, that's true.
Just
I was waiting I was waiting for that to come about once I got to New York when I could actually have human interactions and like people to hang out with. I ducked yours. I almost ducked.
I wished you well moving. Nothing.
Oh, really?
Absolutely nothing.
He goes, oh, really?
It's like, hey, man, like good luck on the move. If you need anything, let me know. Nope. Complete darkness.
So this is a chronic issue.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So much so that Spag's a Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. He hit me up on Sunday like, hey, you want to go watch the game? And I texted him back because I had just not texted you back. So, like, if you catch me on the right cycle where I've just, like, especially after you called me out, if you catch me on the right cycle where someone's been like, hey, Trent, why are you being such an asshole? I'll respond. But most of the time, I see it, and then I start doing something else, and then it's not mean-spirited. It's just, like, absent-mindedness.
That was exactly our presumption.
It is shocking because it just goes completely against everything else that you are, that you would just duck text messages.
If you ask anybody from back home, I'm the exact same way with them.
Wow.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Brian from Maine, you got a question for each one of us. What you got?
What's going on, boys? Love the show. Keep it up. Question, yep, just for each of you guys. First, Smitty, whatever happened with the Barstool Idol contestant? Are you still in touch with her? Are you hooking up with her? Riggsy, who's your early pick for player of the year on the tour? I can't think of anybody else besides Justin Thomas. Trent, you can weigh in on as well. And Trent, if you dated a girl who has a nanny, would you think anything less of her? Viva.
That was a good one to sign off.
Really good.
Like that's a bachelor question.
Yeah. On my part, she's a very Amy is a very nice girl. Very sweet when she wants to be, but I would never hook up with anyone who I think would kill me in my sleep or have the ability to be able to beat me up. She's big. She's a big girl. She's like 5'10". She's a breeder, which would be great. Get a kid D1, her, your money back. But other than that,
you gotta love a good breeder.
That's not where I thought that analysis was going, but it was good.
I respect that.
I did too. It was honest,
very
honest.
That was a good Smitty answer. I like that.
That was the first time I'd heard her name. So shout out to Amy.
Yeah, Amy, good for her.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Well, she hasn't earned a right to get her name right.
She got the starts with an A.
Barstool contestant number like 4.
Yeah. Or a player of the year on PGA Tour. I'm gonna go with Rory. I think Rory's due. He's had, it's been, a couple of years since he won? Was it the PGA in?
He won the last two 15? Majors in 2014.
It's been, he's due. I think, too, he's
well,
been
he,
talking
I mean,
about
he
how
won, he won a bunch of those FedEx Cup
yeah,
events at the
so
end.
Like
but no majors since the end of 2014.
Heated up at the end. There's been a lot of talk that his putting's back. He tweaked his back, but I don't think that, or tweaked his rib, which is better than a back, and is missing out this weekend. But JT, obvious hot choice, but when it comes to majors, really, player of the year always goes to the guy that gets like one major and one or two other wins, especially if one of them's like a Players or a WGC or something like that. So I think Rory's going to scoop it up. I think he's due.
I'm going. Oh, no,
yeah, Trent.
I would say I'm going with Hideki Matsuyama. He's my guy all year long.
Love it. Love it.
All year long.
You have been, even on
he's
a couple.
Been he's been fringe for a couple years now, right?
Yeah, and he's kind of heated up. He's been
he's
just
real hot.
Fuego to yeah. end last year and the beginning of this year.
Yeah, he's,
so.
A, he's a good draft picks pick.
Week oh,
week
huge.
Week out. Like,
huge.
He's always,
so
he's always high. He's always in the cusp, on the
yeah.
cusp.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's going to have a big year.
You are happy. You should be happy you didn't jinx yourself with the Tiger call there. A little peek behind the curtain. Riggs and I have a big bet going on to where one of us is surrendering a lot of pride and financial means if Tiger would win a major.
I mean, in the back
I'm
of my head,
be very excited.
In the back yeah, of my head,
I'm going to be sweating.
My mouth said Hideki, but my heart and brain. Or
no,
my
of
heart
course,
and
you, but you
Tiger.
Can't say. You
it
can't.
Would have been really funny if we both said Tiger.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate.
And Trent, what was the last question?
If I dated a girl who had a nanny, would that concern me? So if you don't watch. Well, do you guys watch The Bachelor?
Okay.
There's a girl, Corinne, on the show who is like basically a 24-year-old child.
That's right. She's like the hot, slutty, rich girl.
Right. She's okay. The blonde. If you see the promo, she's like the villain of the season. And she has a nanny named Raquel who like does everything for her. Makes her breakfast, makes her lunch, makes her bed, all that shit. And people were talking about like if a girl had one of those, does that concern you? I guess last night we talked about if you have a nanny, that's the best thing in the world. Like, anybody who doesn't have one is just jealous. If a girl that I dated had a nanny, that's a different story. That's, like, high-maintenance shit. That's stuff I don't want to deal with.
Especially if you're not someone – if you're someone that just doesn't really do anything, right? Like, if you were a 24-year-old, like, business tycoon phenom.
So it's
you
it's,
had, like, a nanny. And it was, but doesn't she claim to be that, but she doesn't actually do anything?
She claims that she's taking – her dad owns a multi-million-dollar business, and she's claiming that she's taking it over and, like – and they
What's her tagline at the bottom?
What do you mean?
For like her job title.
Isn't it like business
owner? It's like business owner.
Yeah, like entrepreneur.
Okay. My favorite is former law student.
Yeah, no, but then in like the montage, she's like acting like she's taking over a business. But she has a nanny. A literal nanny that does everything for her. So if I don't dating a girl like that, I don't think it would.
So I saw her first episode where they always like intro everybody, and she kind of introed herself as like, I can't do anything without my nanny, blah, blah, blah. Do you think she's playing that up, or is that like who she is? Like, she literally can't function without her nanny.
Gosh, usually I would say she's playing it up, but Corinne is, I'm pretty sure she's like a 9-year-old in a 24-year-old's body.
I mean, it'd be pretty much dating Ashley or Hillary from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's no difference in that. I mean, they had a butler who did everything.
Yeah,
for
it
him.
Just totally depends on, again, like, I feel like those women were more like
they seem capable.
Grounded. Yeah, much more like
capable.
I totally agree.
Corinne is great, something else. She's great for TV though.
Who we got? Ian, you got a question about movies? What you got, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm gonna be whispering a little bit because I'm deep in the cubes right now, and I don't
love
like,
it.
Know,
love it.
You know, gotta do what I gotta do. But what are your favorite movies? If you had to pick one movie to watch for the rest of your life. Mine would be Ocean's 11.
Great. See, that's a two-part question because my favorite movie and a movie that I can watch over and over and over again are two different things.
All right,
so make it a two-part question.
Okay.
So my favorite movie of all time is the first Rocky. I just think, sorry, Philly, like Hardo or whatever, but I just think that that's an overall perfect movie. It has a little bit of everything for everyone in it, especially people who go into it not expecting to be that dramatic and heartfelt. Mm-hmm. You're expecting Rocky's, you know, Ivan Drago coming.
It's a great movie.
It's a phenomenal movie. But the movie I can watch over and over again would be a movie, man, like recently, like Whiplash. I can watch that over and over. I can watch Seven. I can watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like movies like that with a little more entertainment factor. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like Jaws, just something like that.
So just basically every movie ever made.
Pretty much. Okay. Anything that can entertain me.
That's good. Smart. Yeah. My favorite movie of all time, Charlie Wilson's War. Not even close.
Really?
Fucking phenomenal movie. It's got everything I like. It's got humor. It's got intellect.
It's got still a theme, Seymour fucking Hoffman going.
Who's just one of his best roles of all time. It's got everything that I love, which too is like politics, solving like a real world issue that actually happened. It's fascinating again. It's very funny. That movie is just unbelievable. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Tom Hanks.
It's got Tom Hanks. Also, I listed, like, somebody asked me, like, a year ago, we had, like, drunken discussion. Someone's like, what's your favorite movie? And so they were trying to guess, and I was like, it's a Tom Hanks movie that nobody ever and nobody could list. Nobody listed.
No, that's not the first 10 Tom Hanks movies.
Right, which is another reason that I love it, because it's Tom Hanks, but not, like, Tom Hanks.
I mean, you're getting into, like, Larry Crown territory or Money Pit, where it's a decent movie, but, you know, you're not going to.
So it's my favorite movie, hands down. And then the movie I could watch over and over and over and over again is Happy Gilmore. Oh, it's just laugh out loud funny every time I see it.
Yeah, I agree.
The movie, I'm split on my favorite movie of all time. It's either, I think it's The Departed.
Wow.
The Departed or Goodfellas. But
love it.
I know. Those are the two. I mean, I love crime movies. I love mafia movies. Those are my shit. So that's I'll go with The Departed. That's what I'll go with. And then when I can watch over and over again is Tommy Boy. I've seen that movie 50,000 times, and I'll see it 50,000 more times.
That's a very fitting answer.
Goodfellas, if either you watch Goodfellas and love it, or you just haven't seen it. That's one of those movies that's just universally loved.
I think that's true.
I
think that's true.
And it's probably one of the most sneaky, quotable movies out there.
One thing I want to say, too, about The Departed, I feel like it gets a not a bad rap, but like less credit than it deserves. Everyone's like, oh, it's such a masshole movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. I think Jack wasn't that great in it.
He's kind of played up the old...
Like, come on, man.
That's like the one weak part, but like Damon and DiCaprio are fucking...
Oh, Wahlberg. Wahlberg's the best.
Wahlberg, yeah.
Even Alec Baldwin's amazing in it.
He's very funny in that.
Yeah, Patriot Act.
It's crazy how many guys are in that.
It's phenomenal. Dylan from Maryland got a government question.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, living the dream, man. Living the dream. Stuck on 495.
Ooh, sounds shitty.
So, yeah, it is. So I want to jump back to what Trent was saying about how we can't find these planes and how we have the whole world mapped out. Not so much a question. A good buddy of mine, he's a geospatial physicist. And about a year ago, when that one plane went missing over, Indonesia, Philippines, whatever, we were sitting down talking. And he's saying that his firm that he works for can actually find the plane and that they offer their services to governments all over the world to find the plane. Because they pretty much just map everything all the time, every day, always taking pictures. And he was explaining to me the process, but the governments didn't want to pay because there's nothing sexy about that. You know, there's what, 152, 300 people? That was it. And so they were putting out these bids and they kept on lowering their bid, you know, saying, hey, we'll find the plane. But nobody would actually front the bill, even though on the flip side, you have government saying we're putting our best people on it. We're trying everything we can. And that was just all lip service to the missing plane.
So I think that this really supports, again, my theory that there's so many good conspiracy theories and all of that when the plane's never found. It just makes it that much better.
Oh, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And my buddy, he has a contract right now with the government, and he's remapping the entire ocean floor.
Your buddy. What's your buddy, a geo-something physicist?
Geothermal physicist.
Geospatial physicist.
Okay.
That just sounds made up to begin with.
I'm definitely going to start telling chicks that at the bar.
I know it might be above your IQ, guys.
No doubt.
But I just wanted to, you know, give you guys a call, let you know that, you're not a conspiracy theory guy, but maybe we are.
Okay.
All right. All right, thanks, man.
Thanks for the call.
It's a pretty dark way to think about it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think this brings in all the theories of like, oh, why are they really not grabbing this company or whatever, this technology to do it? Maybe the country knows what happened and they just want to hide it because it's bad for them.
Oh,
this
is why conspiracy rigs.
This is why it's better if it's just.
What he said actually made a lot of sense to me, though. Like they don't want to. They don't want to front the money. They're just going to find a bunch of dead people. So like, why rip that hope away from the people who like think they can still?
It just proves the hypocrisy of what we live in, where they come out and say, we're doing everything we can to find.
The world's full of that shit.
Exactly. I like it. Two straight shows, and we go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
We should just have a conspiracy theory segment.
This might be a conspiracy-friendly morning show.
Yeah.
I love.
I think it should be a friendly everything morning show.
Maybe we should all research like a conspiracy every week and come in with it.
Come in blazing with your conspiracy theories.
Give us a ring, 646-627-8450. Share this shit on Facebook. We appreciate you listening, and it helps us out. We're going to start a new thing today. I don't know if it's going to last or whatever, but we're all pretty big history buffs here. So just pulling up Trent.
Like, sorry. Play along with the bit, Trent.
You live in history.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I remember what we're doing now.
Yeah, so we're just going to do a little today in history, what happened back in whenever time.
This will be good. I'll be learning a lot.
Today in 1961, Eisenhower was gave away his farewell speech, warning of the military-industrial complex, which is probably the most famous farewell speech as president since Washington's isolationist speech.
That's great, Smitty.
That's fucking phenomenal.
And that's today in history. Yeah.
That was talking history.
Hey, if you assholes want to come up with like segments, you're more than welcome.
The thing. I feel bad because I wish I had like paid attention and had something to add to that. But I'm just like, let's talk about like Corinne.
Well,
and
Eisenhower's probably the most famous golfing president there is. That's your 2 cents.
Okay. I like that. I'm learning. You
What were you saying? Who had the best handicaps for presidents last week?
Who had the best? I we were just saying that the three people that I chose for my dream foursome were all presidents that have single digit
handicaps. Do we know Trump's handicap?
I think, so he's very protective, obviously, of
first
his
image. First of all, Trump is Judge Smales on the golf course. I could see that 100% where he's kicking the ball out, fucking telling the caddy, don't count that and shit.
I got to be honest. So I'm not a Trump guy at all. But I feel like the golf course might be the one place where he's like an honest guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's a big golf guy.
He is a big golf guy. There's a couple pretty good videos of him hitting like ceremonial first shots, and he just ropes it down the middle. I believe he's rumored to be like a 6, 7, 8 handicap.
Yeah.
He's also fucking 70 years old now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if you even, how good could you really be? How consistent could you be? I don't know if he even plays like really very many rounds anymore.
Two words, ladies' tees.
No way.
Whatever
you,
it
you
is.
Can, you cannot be president of the United States and hit from the ladies' tee.
Who you just made that rumor up?
I never said that.
I have some conspiracy.
You made that rumor up, and then you he's doing it.
Think he's doing it.
No, I mean I think he's he's pretty known as being like a very capable golfer.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, when you're rich and white, you pretty much have to be.
I know plenty of rich white dudes that fucking suck at golf.
Well, that's not lack of trying.
And he owns.
No,
I mean,
I never said it was.
Look at Portnoy. Yeah, that guy's a fucking hacker.
Yeah, he's not great.
Like, he doesn't really play. He plays like once every 2 years.
That's true. Tex, what's your handicap?
Oh, it's not good. I was just thinking, what sport would you judge a man off of golf? Like, what's the biggest test of a man, sport-wise?
A bare-knuckle boxing, Tex. How'd you do in that last week?
I mean, it worked out. Let's just say
that. I would say golf. Like, not even, like, skill, but just, like, etiquette.
Right, I think that that's why, you know, golf business, all that. I mean, it's impossible for you to go 4.5, 5 hours with somebody and not see basically every side of them.
Yeah.
Like, happy them, how do they handle, like, are they humble?
Right.
How do they handle when they're fucking miserable and they take 3 shots out of a bunker and they want to commit suicide?
How are they when they're drunk?
They get a couple beers in them, they're competitive. That's like, you know, you get to see every side of people.
And that's the same way with pickup basketball. You can see every single aspect of a man. When they're playing, if they bitch about every foul, you don't want to be friends with them. If they're a chucker, they just take the ball and shoot every single time. That is a huge character flaw.
I feel like that's me.
You're a chucker?
No.
You're a ducker and a chucker?
A ducker and a chucker. I'm just so bad at basketball that I don't even play, so I don't know what I'm like on the court anymore, but I feel like I just want to shoot the ball. I'd rather play like a game of horse than a game of pickup.
I mean, and if you were playing 5-on-5 and with that attitude and I didn't know you, I would despise you.
That's
fine. There was really no coming back from that either.
Image. I agree with that. I agree with that. That's fine.
Well, now you know. So if you ever play basketball with in a communal setting, just don't do that.
All right. What's the best kind of guy on a basketball court? Like a point guard?
Someone who keeps his head down, mouth shut, and passes the ball, rebounds, works hard, plays defense. Basically me.
of course. Smitty.
Smitty's just describing how he plays.
I had a chucking phase. When I first moved to New York, I didn't have health insurance, so I had to develop. I lived on the three-point lane because I was not going down the fucking point and do that because somebody absolutely shattered my nose on an elbow. So I stayed on the outside, and I took my shot, picked my battles. But now we're insured, baby. We're down there.
Yeah, insurance is
down there in the trenches.
Love that insurance.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a pretty bad basketball player too.
Yeah,
that's one of my worst sports.
Yeah.
Which
is a lot coming from you because you'll get the quickest thing to get Riggs riled up. I guess you too, Smitty, is to be like, I'm faster than you, Riggs. You'd be like, okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I'm
you have multiple times just under your breath got visibly angry when someone else was called the most athletic in the office.
Yeah.
So it's a big step.
I play D1 hockey. So you know where I am?
So it's a big step for you to say you're a bad basketball player.
I'm not a good basketball player. I can play defense, I can pass and all that, but I can't. I'm like a terrible shooter. Mm-hmm. And when you're a bad shooter, but you're someone that like considers yourself a very clutch person, like I know how to win games. It's very frustrating because I can't shoot.
It's like I'm Michael Jordan, but I can't shoot.
Right, and
jumper.
So it's like, well, I'm going to make a super clutch pass here to win the game. So it's like all I got out there, which is devastating.
I couldn't tell you last time I played a full game of basketball. It sounds stupid, but I would rather play like a game of horse than a game of pickup. Horse is so much more fun and laid back. Basketball, you got to run up and down the court. It's really exhausting.
Oh, that's another thing for people that don't play very often. Like 2 minutes in, you're just toast.
Well,
you're completely toast.
That's the thing. When you play golf, you don't want to play with people who don't play that often. It's the same exact thing because
that's why the handicap system is phenomenal.
I know, but even when you're riding with someone and they're just a hacker, and you're just going in the woods, you're waiting for them. Like, doesn't that get a little old?
A little bit, but that's the beauty of golf. Somebody could be a 20 handicap, you could be a 3 handicap, which I am. And you can all play at a good match, good competitive match. That's why golf's fantastic. But to talk, like, my roommate's a big, like, racket sports guy.
Okay.
And we always talk about if you're, like, a little bit better than the other guy.
That's the most elitist possible.
Yeah, definitely. If you're like, a little bit better than someone else in any racket sport, you guys can't even, like, play together.
Is that true?
It's not fun because you're going to win every time. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's like whether it's squash or fucking tennis or whatever.
So he's one of those squash bros who just like from Yale gets in the face of everyone.
You're stereotyping.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
He's a normal dude from New Jersey who grew up playing sports, and that's one of his sports.
Did he go to Harvard?
No.
I don't know.
I apologize. I was just kidding.
I don't know any like racquetball guys. None of my friend group, I guess.
I'm not very good at racquet sports either.
Interesting.
All right. Also, today is Betty White's 95th birthday. Okay. And there is a photo of her on Twitter going around right now when she was 30, and she is a certified minx. I don't have it up, but an absolute dime pot.
I got a picture of her at 95, not looking great.
No, well, I can't imagine those curtains are still hanging.
Oh, come on. Betty White. Respect the Betty White.
She's a golden girl. She's all right.
I got nothing on Betty White, I don't think.
We'll have to work on the history segment, Smitty.
Hey, man, we're trying hard here. We're trying hard. Does Tex even know who Betty White is?
I didn't know she was still alive, though, right?
Tex is also.
That's definitely one of those.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's Betty White. I bet if you asked the office, it'd be 50-50.
Yeah, or she'd be one of those, like, if she died tomorrow, it'd be like, ooh, I thought she was already dead.
Yep.
Yeah. 646-627-8450. If you got better today in fucking history, I'd like to hear it.
That was kind of the Muhammad Ali, I feel like, when he died, and everybody's kind of like, oh.
No, he was alive.
You knew Muhammad Ali.
I didn't.
That's like the opposite of that.
No, I want to say like KFC or somebody had a blog that was like, I'll be honest, I thought.
No way. Sure he's such an icon that everyone, you would have remembered his like the outpouring of support.
I thought he was dead.
Fidel Castro.
That's
another one.
That's what I was just going to say.
I'm the complete opposite, but you have
to be ingrained in politics and world affairs to kind of understand that.
I remember I tweeted about that. That's one who I thought was definitely dead, especially a guy who had 600 assassination attempts. So.
Oh, yeah. He was up there.
I feel like I thought he was dead. Muhammad Ali, not so much.
See, I'm the opposite. I was like shocked. I was like, oh, wow. You know why? Because, you know, he had the whole brain situation where you're like, he's basically been gone for a long time.
Yeah, no, he hadn't been doesn't really do public appearances and shit. But he was one of those where he definitely
doesn't do them now.
Tex, you had something intelligent to chirp?
Yesterday in 1919 was the first day of Prohibition.
There you go.
Okay.
Probably the worst amendment ever. Well, it was the worst amendment ever ratified because it was the only one ever taken back.
Yeah, but okay, but it also, it created a bunch of phenomenal stories.
Boardwalk Empire doesn't happen without Prohibition.
I was going to say, like, that's that Prohibition's a great thing for entertainment now that we didn't have to live through it, but we get to hear all the stories.
I like that Tex is a Boardwalk Empire guy.
Big time. Nice. One of the best series of all time.
It's like underrated.
The first season was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I like how HBO just like runs back all the characters, like Omar from The Wire is in it.
Yeah.
And that brings guys, that makes me real happy. Yeah. Okay. Did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
Not going to lie, not a fan. A little too slow. little too slow for this guy.
I get that.
Yeah. And I'm a Scorsese guy because I'm supposed to be a Scorsese guy, not because I actually like love him. Like, I love Goodfellas, I love The Departed, but like
I think a lot of this stuff.
It's just.
I think a lot of the world is a Scorsese guy because you're supposed to be a Scorsese.
Exactly. It's because I'm not going to be that guy to go against Scorsese because I can't.
You know what else? You know what other show I feel that way about?
Why do you say Scorsese?
Scorsese.
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 You know what other show I feel that way about that I'm just like supposed to like, even though I don't know if I understand it, is the Louis C.K. show.
I never watched it because I heard it's bad.
Who I love.
It's not bad. Early on, I thought it was genius, the first two seasons. And then he became self-aware of how good it was. And then he started coming out with, like, just stuff to fuck with people just because he could.
Yeah,
like,
you know, which they, I like that.
Which I respect, but it's just, like, it was kind of, he was trolling to a point. Like, and this is just one of the, like, you know, dozens of examples. It's kind of when he brought on his black wife just because he could.
Yeah.
Just because he could fuck
with
people.
Which I like. I kind of like that, like, I don't know what the right word for it.
But
like,
anarchist. I liked it when it was season one and two, when it was kind of realistic.
Yeah.
And portrayed the values and the life of just a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also like, you know, you're a guy that's meddled in that field before. So I think I get related more.
True. True.
And I love Louis C.K.
So the reason I've never seen the show is because I'm so into his stand-up.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people told me that the show is like way worse. So I don't want to go backwards. I was like, well,
I wouldn't call it worse. His stand-up is, the show is based on his stand-up, and he still features it in his show, which I liked because it was just a realistic portrayal of what he was going on.
Fair.
Taylor, you're on the line. You want to talk about Club Dave. All right, let's get in trouble here.
You know, Smitty Riggs, I just got a question. I've seen a lot of Club Dave and Addy Dave since the new office started. Didn't see a lot of that in Boston. He maybe just wasn't as open about it. What's he like when he's on Adderall compared to regular Dave? I mean, he just seems like a completely different person.
I'm not going to go too into. Like,
I
don't know how often he does Adderall. I know he admits or portrays that he does it often.
But let's be honest, he's probably doing it every morning.
I have no idea.
A little bit Dave walks to work. He's on a little bit of Adderall.
You can see something in his eyes. You can see a little twinkle.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I'm also I'm just a classic, totally unaware of that stuff type person.
Yeah.
Like, when I go to a party or something, and we'll leave, and people will be like, see how fucking coked out or something that person was, I'll be like, I thought he was a nice guy. I don't even know, you know. Like, I have no fucking clue. I just am like a space cadet on that stuff. So I really don't know.
Yeah, you see that guy talking to the fucking ceiling right there? Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, he must have had a shitty day at work. Like, I don't know. It's like, no, he's on like 11 different fucking pills. So I'm the worst person to ask. I just have no fucking idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, that Caleb story about them at the club.
Great story.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you see that shirt that Caleb made?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And for people who are unaware, a quick synopsis of what happened is Caleb and Prez went to the club with a couple other people, and basically Caleb got stuck with a $10,000 bill out of nowhere, and Caleb gave his credit card, and the woman came back and just like, there's not enough money on it. And Caleb's just like, I know.
Yeah.
Very aware.
Yeah, so he had to use the company credit card, which is a huge no-no, especially the accountant that we got. Nice guy, but he is...
Yeah.
Hitler.
Oh, he's cracking down.
Yeah, he is Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini. He's every possible dictator you can think of when it comes to expenses.
He's right outside this door. He's probably listening. He's
one of our.
Oh, but he knows it too.
He's
knows
good.
It.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
No, one of our interns asked him recently, was like, can I get like some money just for like my commute? Like, it's kind of expensive. And he was like, you're going to need to submit all kinds of, like, don't know.
It's the classic, like, bury them in paperwork so they just give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. Like, I'm still waiting on my moving expenses.
Yeah,
exactly. It's unbelievable. I moved here in September, and every single time I go in to sign on to do, I get expense for an $8 cab because I had to get, like, his approval all the way across the office, and I look over, and he's, like, head down in his fucking face, miserable. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
That's just Costanza. He's doing the Costanza thing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Jesus Christ, you're like, all right, it's fucking $8 cab. Like, I'll just swallow it.
Exactly.
He knows what he's doing.
Exactly. But when it's $108 cabs, which is basically fucking totally now, like, it's getting an issue. Smitty's getting angry.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you got to do, you know, you got to take all the pictures and receipts. Of course, everybody out there in their cubes like, yeah, that's what real life's like.
You fucking idiots.
But let's just say that, the system used to be a lot different.
Yeah.
Way different.
When we were all out on our own, A, Well, at least when I first started, I was responsible, like, for my own videos and everything, so coming out of pocket. And after that, it was very, very liberal. It's basically whatever Dave wanted to pay you for reimbursing and whatever not. Yeah. And you could if you call him on a good day, he'd be like, oh, yeah, this costs, like, $500, when it really costs $5. You'd be like, oh, okay, just wouldn't ask any question, but you got him on a bad day.
Yeah, when I went to London with Gaz, it was still pre, you know, when we were in the office and we had a legitimate system and we got back, Gaz, like, just email me a number.
Yeah,
any number. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's just coming out of Handsome Hank's.
Call it 1500. Yeah.
I'm so scared that we're, like, getting in trouble with this.
It's coming out of the stables. Day.
For sure. Now it's like a legitimate. You need receipts. You need all that. So.
Yeah, which is.
It's better because we have insurance.
Yeah, it is better.
I agree.
But it's harder to because I get receipts and stuff.
I agree with that. Connor from Houston, want to talk to Trent about Miss Olivia.
Okay.
Connor, you're on. Connor?
Kind of got like a bad girl rep, almost Corinne-ish on the last season of Bachelor. Want to know what she's like in person. Is she kind of a diva? Did she re-up her image a little bit? And then a bonus question for all three of you guys. What are you guys' commute times like usually in the morning? So what time are you guys getting there for Barstool Live like this morning?
Good shit, Connor.
Do we want to start with commutes or Olivia?
You go with Olivia.
No,
because we all have met Olivia.
Yeah,
one
I was going to say,
so
we can all chime in.
Oh, okay. I thought she was great. What was great about her, so we had her on the after show, and then we brought her in for Coming Up Roses to do the podcast. The best thing about her is she's super honest. Like, some of the people we talked to, because we've had a few guests on the shows before, not the after show, but the podcast, where they just can't talk about certain things, which is fine. They have ABC kind of tells them what they can and cannot say, but she was totally honest. She didn't care. Not a diva at all. It's kind of the case of, and we talked about this, where you get a bad edit on the show, and then everyone thinks that that's how they're going to be in person.
That has to go on so much.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So everybody who sees her, or she said, like, her roommates, they're like, oh, you live with Olivia, is she crazy? No, she's super normal. It's just you take on this character on the show, and then the producers manipulate it to the point where it's like, all right, now people think you're this person. So, no, she was great.
Yeah.
She was great.
And she is a very nice person. But I will say this. Riggs, you know better than I do with her. When you see her out and about doing her thing, you could totally get that perception of her.
Okay.
Two of my good buddies are, like, high school friends with another girl that was on The Bachelor. So, like, that crew, they always become friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I know her through, like, mutual friends. I've seen her at the bar, like, four or five times since I moved to New York. And first of all, her and I, one time, she was like, I'm going to stare directly into your eyes for 10 seconds.
Yes, and that happened.
And I was like, okay. And she stared right into my eyes for 10 seconds, and she pulled away, and she goes, your eyes are perfect. I don't see anything wrong. So, A, huge points for Olivia. Love Olivia. And B, she's just always been, I've very rarely been, like, hanging out with her, going nuts one-on-one at the bar. It's more just, like, amongst a bunch of friends. She just seems like a super normal down-to-earth chick. So yeah. I don't get, like, a diva vibe from her.
No, she wasn't. First thing, she got here last night, and she was just, like, first thing she wanted was a drink. We gave her some wine, and then we were off. It was awesome.
Yeah. And was her, like, little crazy vibe from when she was on, was that from night one?
Because
I didn't watch it. I feel like night one's where everybody gets blackout drunk.
No, it was,
anything could happen.
Yeah, it was a little bit, but it was more later on where she, like, she's classic case of, like, wanting to actually win the show, and it rubs all the other girls the wrong way to the point where they're like, she has no allegiances or alliances. So
she
looks
at it like, I'm here to win.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of carried over all the way up until she left the show. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
What was the second question? Oh, commute times.
Oh,
we all three come from different parts of
we do.
The city. You go farthest away, Trent?
Yeah, it takes me door-to-door about 50 minutes. 45 to 50 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, mine's about 30 to 35. I got like a 10-12-minute walk. I got like a 15-minute subway. I got like another 3-4-minute walk.
Yeah, I lucked out. I lucked out big time. I got like a 15 to 20-minute walk.
I'm
straight wham bam.
I'm so jealous of that.
Yeah, it's actually beautiful.
I mean, yeah.
No, it is nice. We've gone over and done like a little Friday, like, happy hour
post-work
at Smitty's or near Smitty's, and it's a fucking real convenience.
It's like 10, it's like 15-minute walk for me to the subway, 20-minute, then 15-minute walk.
Something
like that.
And you just become a big podcast guy. You just have to be.
Yeah, which I didn't realize coming here that you just completely lose service underground, which makes sense.
Yeah, so you got. I had to legitimately buy a new phone for storage space You can't just stream everything.
Good point, Trent. I forgot about that. Didn't think that was going to happen, and then you get underground, and it's just like, oh, I'm disconnected from the entire world.
Yeah, I can't imagine the concept of mass transportation in Iowa.
No, it's, we got buses and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But not like subways and shit. It's a little different.
John, you want to talk about Trent doing videos in Omaha? What do you got, man?
Hey, Riggs, your eyes look great. Smitty, Philadelphia sucks. Trent, why don't you come to Omaha to do College World Series? And then this summer, there's the World Curling or there's the U.S. Curling Championships. I need a corn suit in Omaha watching curling. Viva.
Yeah, that's cute. Someone who lives in Nebraska talking shit in Philadelphia.
I would love to go to the College World Series. That's like one of my bucket list sports things.
Heard it's awesome.
Yeah. It's just like a big party in Omaha. Exactly. Has anybody done it?
That and the Kentucky Derby are like the top two underrated like party things.
Yeah. No, so I would love to come out.
I think both of them, don't they have like a BYOB vibe?
I think so, yeah.
Or just a drunken mess.
Yeah.
Lose it all vibe.
Yeah. I think like, or like a NASCAR, like a big NASCAR thing would be fun. Another like BYOB type of thing.
Agreed.
Event.
Yeah, that's the same kind of
vibe. So I would love to go to the College World Series. I regret not going when I was, you know, living there or living in Iowa, which was a lot closer. So maybe we'll make the trip. That'd be fun.
No, it definitely would. I think that one thing that people always get a little misconception about is like they think super fun like party scenes are just instant video content. And just not.
Doesn't work that way.
No, they're like, yeah, you should go here because it's really fun in Barstool, which like I could see why people think that. Mm-hmm. But that's just not
in
the case.
In which it sometimes is.
Occasionally, but for the most part, it's like, yeah. Just because you're going and raging and having an awesome time doesn't mean you can make it.
We had those thoughts when we had Kit going back and forth going to the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
It's like, this would be awesome. And also they were like, oh, you can bring cameras and mics onto the course, which is lame. But,
right, so like you guys will have a really fun time, but like why the
but
fuck would that
be? But
it's
also, you can only watch like people like drinking and having fun and putting it to like EDM music so many times.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to wrap up now because apparently Dave Waddles the Work is happening.
Happening
about now, a little earlier. Than usual.
We'll be back Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be back Thursday. We're going to keep doing our thing. I am currently looking for an intern specifically for the show. So anybody who has the nuts and guts to come in Tuesdays and Thursdays to help us out, please email in. I'll put all the information on Twitter, phillytips@barstoolsports.com. Thanks for having us again in your cubes, cars, life. And we'll see you Thursday.
Have fun at work.